here this morning. And so we are looking forward to finishing up our last couple foundation messages. We have one today, and then I will be in Haiti next week, and then we'll have one more foundation message. And then we'll start a marriage family series. And we'll split the classes up a little bit for that. And so, all right. In the meantime, let's have Aaron and Matthew hand out some handouts. Everybody there. And leave some with Dave in the back in case somebody comes in late. That would never happen at Open Door. And so, all right. We're teaching about a different foundation. Right. Let's see. Rick, can you give me a bunch of napkins? Somebody spilled a very large liquid something in my pulpit and didn't clean it up, and everything here is soaked. And so I'm thinking a child. I just don't know what liquid they spilled. Hopefully it's not acid or anything dangerous.
I saw you move suddenly. Was it a child of God?
No.
A small child.
No angels. No, my phone wasn't. It was before I got here. Don't tell me. I already know. My wife's. All right. Good. I've always found that everything you get frustrated at now is funny later. So I decided to make it funny now. And that's always true. You find out something that really drives you crazy now. Later, you laugh at it and tell a story. But I just decided to not delay that process. And all right, Hebrews, where we'll be. And we'll start there just for a minute, and we'll go around. Today, we're talking about patience. And patience. Hebrews 12. And let's read these first few verses, and then we'll get into the subject of patience. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." And says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The life that God has given you, we want to, the race that you've been given, run with patience. And God will give you grace for that patience. Let's pray. We'll get into the foundation of patience and understanding that in our lives. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the teaching in the Bible on patience. It's something that we need. We are an impatient, instant society, Lord. We want everything now. We want everything right. We want everything easy. We want everything to be convenient, Lord. And it's not necessarily the way life works, Lord. And so we've got to learn patience. So we pray you to teach us this and teach us your way of thinking on it. We ask for your help and for your guidance and your thoughts on these things. In Jesus' name, amen. I put the Greek word for patience in the Bible here. Hupomone. And the word means cheerful or hopeful endurance. First thing I want you to understand is we're talking about patience a little bit. And I wanted to print it up for you and give this to you just so you could take it with you. Maybe put it on a board somewhere or give it to somebody. Don't give it to somebody who needs patience because they'll get mad at you for it. But you can just remember and study a little bit. And I don't know if we'll get to all the verses. And there's a lot more verses that we didn't put on the study here because I knew we wouldn't have time. But the one thing to remember is patience in the Bible is not the same as our patience. They're related. They're close. Patience in the Bible is a little bit different. When we think of patience, we think of being able to sit still and sit for a long time and wait for something. And I think that's a good characteristic. I think that's part of patience in the Bible. And that's fine. But that's the only thing we define it as. But actually, God's patience is how you wait. And it has to do more with enduring and more with enduring than waiting. We would say maybe a patient person thinking they can put up with a lot is closer to it than a patient person who can wait a long time. When we think of patience, we think of this person needs some patience so they can graduate from school, or I'm going to be sitting there waiting for the bus for an hour and a half, so I need patience. It's similar, but it's not only an enduring of hardships, the right kind of patience, but it's the attitude you do it. I can wait for something and not be cheerful about it. I cannot have hope in it, and cheerfully endure is what it is. And so we'll get into some things of here and where patience comes from. But I have found that by nature I'm not patient. By training I become fairly patient, not as patient as I like to be. There's different kinds of patience. One of the things that I find about myself is I have a lot to do. I stay very busy, and I like to be busy, and I think it's important to be busy, and I just get a lot of important things to do. I'm very privileged at that. And so I hate wasting time. I don't think being a person who hates wasting time is an impatient person. So one of the things that I do in my life is I always have work with me. And what I mean by that is I never go sit in the Department of Motor Vehicles and wait an hour grumbling. I'll bring a book with me. I'll bring something to write. I'll bring something to study. I'll bring my New Testament in my pocket. Why? Because I don't think that's necessarily a matter of patience. If I'm supposed to meet with somebody, people don't keep appointments. I had an appointment this week. Somebody just didn't show up. They just slept through it, and they were a person I thought might do that. So guess what? I had a ton of work to do. I didn't sit there and get impatient and tap my fingers. I don't think you should live like that. Time's too precious. The Bible says redeem the time. That is not impatience. But I do think you have to use your time wisely. I don't think you have to waste time. I don't think sitting around doing nothing is patience. Okay? I want you to understand that. That's the point of that. But let's get into these lessons here in the Bible. Number one, and what is the source of our patience? And let's go, we'll turn to most of these verses. Colossians, and Colossians chapter 1. And verse 10. And let me say along those lines, because patience isn't just sitting there and enduring something and waiting and doing nothing. Because of that, don't be a person who, when you waste somebody's time, expects them to be patient, as we use the word patient. Okay? Somebody has no concept of time. They got a lot to do that day, and you show up 2 hours late, and they're like, hey, where have you been? You say, you need to be patient. No. You need to show up on time. Okay? They might have things to do. And so that is not biblical patience. Biblical patience is not sitting there staring at the wall saying, I can do this all day long. That is not biblical patience, okay? It's a little corner of it, but we won't understand that. The source of our patience, first of all, is the Lord. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering. Long suffering is very, very close to patience, but it's a different subject, obviously, you can see from this verse. Unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So it says, strengthened by God with his mighty power unto all patience. And so we see that. And let's go to Romans, because we'll read a few verses from there. Maybe we'll try to do the verses in Romans together while we're there. Romans 15, in verse 5. Now the God of patience and consolation grants you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. One of the things that I find about God is it depends on which side of it you're on. God is either wonderfully patient or frustratingly patient. And he's the God of all patience. I think of it this way. I'm really glad that God is patient with me. He's very patient, isn't he? You know how long he'll wait? He'll let somebody live and curse him their entire life, and they're 75 in their deathbed. They want to get saved, and he'll let them. God is so patient. God is patient with us when we know better and we do wrong. He's so patient. He's the God of all patience. On the other hand, do you ever wish God would just do something about certain situations? But he's in no hurry. I mean, to God, the days is 1,000 years. You know, we're going, this has been going on for years, Lord. And God says, years? That's like seconds to me. A day is like 1,000, you know. 1,000 years is a day, you know. And, you know, we're worried about what's been happening in America for 200 years. And God's saying, that's about 5 hours to me. I'm not so worried as you are about things. The Lord is, if you were God, wouldn't you have come back and fixed this world a long time ago? I think around the 60s, I'd have been done. 61, 62, maybe. By the time the Beatles landed, I'd be down here fixing this thing. I mean, I'd be, but the Lord, you know, the Bible says God is long-suffering, and not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. He didn't come back because he's waiting for the last person that wants to get saved. And so he is, 2 Peter 3 says that. The Lord is so patient. He's the God of all patience. And the more godly you become, the more you can patiently endure. You can patiently endure trials. You can patiently endure people not liking you. You can patiently endure a nation going away from God. You not panic. Now, you're going to pray hard, but you're not going to panic. You can patiently endure. You know, we hardly make it through a bad day, don't we? Let alone, and listen, I am Mr. Pragmatic. I mean, I just am. Everything's just, I deal with reality. And I'm not smart enough when somebody wants help and wants counsel, I'm not smart enough to tell them, we're going to fix this right away. I just, listen, this is going to take a long time to undo this and fix this. I just tell people that. Because I find if they aren't ready for the long haul and they have a messed up life, it's not going to get fixed. Like I always say, you don't microwave yourself out of what you crock potted yourself into. And so, you got to be patient. You know, you mess up this and this and this and this and this. Your finances are messed up. I don't know how it is. You can go in debt 100 times quicker than you can get out of debt. If you go and get a bunch of that debt, you say, it only took me 2 months to get that far in debt. It ain't going to take you 2 months to get out of it. You're going to, you fall into debt, you dig out of debt. And so you've got to have that patience to say, you know what, I messed up. It's going to take a while to rebuild the situation. That's patience. That's patience. And patience, the God of all patience, the more godly you become, the more patient you become. And I find that I need to be around God just to gain patience in a world that demands patience. And it just does. Number one, the Lord is a source of patience. Number two, trials bring patience. Romans chapter 5 and verse 3. It says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience experience and experience hope. Now, there's a there's a lot of ways to come to this patience through tribulation thing. I get it. When I talk to someone who's had terrible tragedy in their life, and they suddenly get a perspective on life. Their spouse dies, and all their problems they thought were so big aren't so big. Their child is in the hospital getting treated for leukemia. And pretty soon they get very patient about other things. Because what's your car having an issue when your child has leukemia? What's stuck in traffic when you're fighting cancer? You can learn it that way by terrible, terrible trials. But, you know, I find this is what I found in my life. And I think it's very biblical, and I could preach a sermon on it and give you a bunch of scriptures and show you examples of it in the Bible. I believe this: God sees what you're going to go through. He sends a tribulation that'll give you the patience to endure that. The only thing you have to do is endure what he sends your way. And you might say, why am I going through this? I didn't do anything wrong. But it's going to prepare you for what you're, it's going to give you patience for what you're going to face. And so I found whenever I endured properly and faced the problems and dealt with them and worked through them or dealt with it right, I found that I ended up, when I got to where the big things came, I was ready for them. Because tribulation works patience. God will put you through what you need to prepare you, not just for that thing, but for the future. Tribulation works with patience, patience experience hope. And so it goes to this process of things you're going to get that you need in the end, and it makes you great. I told a story about, and I know I told it probably, I don't know, 6 months ago, about how that I got sick, and then it was a big day it wasn't a big day of the year, it was a big day of this church. It was one of the biggest days they were trying to have, and it was a over 100-year-old church. And I had a bus route, and I got sick the day before, a couple days before, and then on the way to the bus station to pick up the bus, the guy I was with, his bus wasn't good, and then his second bus wasn't good, and then he did a fire extinguisher on the next bus, and then he finally got out of there. We were flying, trying to get there, and then a train stopped in front of me. Well, I just tell you, at that point in my life, Bible college, I've been through so many things. I mean, crazy things, unbelievable trials, hardest things I've ever been through. Sleep deprivation for years at a time and unbelievable bad things and poor and everything else. He comes up panicked. Oh, this is terrible. What are we going to do? And what did I do? I was fine with it. I didn't like it, but you know what? I could endure it. Why? Because I just used to have so many bad things going wrong. I mean, like my constant companion was Murphy, and I was just used to it. And so it was just like, what do? You know, you get patient after tribulation. Hard times make you more patient. And James, keep your finger in Romans. Just look at James, because it's a good verse on this. Now, sometimes I'm not always patient, but I find after hard times, I'm more patient. James chapter 1 and verse 3. Knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. When I'm out of the country next week, I've told you many times, I will have to change my mindset quickly. From American mindset of boom, boom, go, 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 to third world mindset, which is hurry up and wait. And go somewhere. And you're supposed to meet somebody and just wait for an hour and a half for them to show up, and then they don't think anything of it. And learn that, you know, those people are more patient because they have hardships. You know, tribulation, trials. Trials works patience. It makes you tougher. That's why many times young people aren't as patient as people who are older. Older people have been through some things. How many of you, the problems you used to freak out about, you take those right now. and why? Because trials make you tough, and it gives you patience in life. And just, you know, that's what you learn to do. You learn to go like this. I didn't like that, but I'll be okay. Where it used to be, hopefully that happens to you. But you got to let patience have a perfect work. And we're in escapism mode now. We escape all trials that'll teach us patience and medicate out of it and everything else. Next, expectations of heavenly blessings make patience. Romans 8. This is too big a passage. I'll read verse 18, then I'll skip forward a little bit, but you can read it. Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And let's see, verse 24. For if we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, hope, it means earnest expectation, by the way, you're looking forward to it, then do we with patience wait for it. The expectation of heavenly blessings, rewards. How are you going to take it when your enemy smites you on one cheek How did our martyr forefathers take the persecution? They were looking for a better country. They can endure being killed. They can endure being imprisoned. Why? Because they were looking for something better in eternity. Listen, when your mind is on heaven, you get much more patient with earth. If your whole life is about this earth, you get very impatient because this earth, this earth constantly steals your opportunities. All your expectations get dashed by something else. You have expectations for health and something changes in your health. You have expectations for wealth and something changes in your finances. Listen, this world, no matter how good you plan it or whatever, if you get impatient and frustrated and you can't endure things because this is it. But if you know you get a new body in heaven, you can be more patient with earthly trials of the body and all those things. So the expectation of heavenly blessing. Next. What is the source of patience? Growing as a Christian. We won't turn to 1 Peter, but it says, but above all these things, add your, I got to memorize, it just went away. If I got the first word, I'd get it. I'm going to have to turn there now. And is that 1 Peter 1? It is 2 Peter. I thought that was wrong. 2 Peter and 1. And verse 5, besides all this, given all diligence, add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, and a temperance, patience, and a patience, godliness, and godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, charity. So you're adding to, it's growing as a Christian. It's just one of the things that'll come along as you're growing. I want to say this, grow as a Christian, and you end up getting the character traits you need. God just kind of says that you need this now. And you grow in this. So you add to it. You just keep growing as a Christian. You'll get patience. And it comes along. And so we have that. Next, what patience does. What patience does. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. What does patience do for us? Patience, this cheerful endurance. First of all, it shows real biblical Christianity. That's a big point on this, because this in the next, letter C there, it's a lot of verses on this, how that it shows who you are by your patience. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye have know what manner of men who are among you for your sake. Now we're going to read a lot of verses in 2 Corinthians and such. Paul praises them in the Thessalonians were going through hard times for their patience. It's proving what you are. Now Paul is going to say, I proved you who I am in my patience. You know why? It's real simple. You can fake a lot of things, but patience in trials and patience in hard times, you can't fake. Your family knows if you're patient, don't they? Or not patient. And you know what? You can act like you're spiritual. You can learn the Bible and quote verses. You can go to church faithfully. But listen, patience comes out when the doctor says, this is permanent, this is terminal, this is this. Patience comes out when your car breaks down. Patience. And how do you endure that? How do you endure that? My car right now is, I get this my Sable, my car I drive every day. It has been dying for a long time. But praise God, I've been able to keep it running and ticking along for a long time. I bought the car to last a year. I was very poor, very broke at the time, and I went and bought a $1,200 car, and I thought, let's get a year or two out of this thing. That was pushing 9 years ago. And it's slow, but it's had this slow death. And about a year and a half ago, it went down to 5 cylinders. And not 5, and one of my valves burned out, but we're keeping it going. And I've got a bunch of things going and a bunch of things wrong with it, but it's still running. I'm down to about, in my six cylinder, I'm down about 16 miles per gallon. And it just slowly died away. And the alignment, it's the rack and pinion's messed up. I've been in two wrecks in that car, and one of my guy ran me into a curb and other things, and the car's slowly dying. Well, now my tab expire in July, and there's no way that thing's getting to emissions. So it'll be done then. But since it said, okay, you're giving up on me, I'm giving up on you, everything's falling apart right now in it. It's just like, do you believe that cars really have personalities? Mine do. And so I've got a strut thing that's going loose, and every time I turn to the left, it goes clunk, clunk. It sounds like my wheel's falling off, and it's got all kinds of funny things. Well, if I sit here and say, oh, my stupid car, it makes clunks, and it does this and that, and it doesn't run right, and it idles wrong, and it has this problem. You know, I could sit here and get frustrated with all the things with that car. My back windows don't roll down. You know, great, my air conditioning still works. Hallelujah. But you know what? I've had some bad cars over the years. And as you know, that car gets me point A to point B. Now, unless you've driven junky cars or been financially tight, point A to point B doesn't excite you. But you learn patience with vehicles. And you say, and you know what's funny? That piece of junk will always start and get me there. You ever had a car like that? It was a piece of junk, but no other car. It could go to 100 degrees below zero, and every other car in the region is stuck. Guess which car is starting? That old piece of junk. You know what? I don't have to sit there and go, oh, this poor car has this. This has this, and it's falling apart this way. You know what? I got a car until I think I know I can get this guy. I shouldn't say. I think this guy, I know I'm going to have me a car for 3 months. 2 months now. And you know what? I'll have a car for that time. You see how patience comes along through tribulation and you can just cheerfully endure? You probably have things in your life you know are coming up. You know, God's brought you this far. Just realize you'll make it. Now, you might not have the answers. I don't know what I'm driving next. I can't drive my Suburban. It's got a 454 in it. Four-wheel drive. If I get a hurricane behind me and put a sail on it, I'll get 12 miles per gallon. And I drive a lot of miles. And so I got to get something else. I understand that. But, you know, God's brought me safe this far. He'll give me something in August. Now, July 31st, I'm still driving it. But then it'll go to a junkyard or wherever. But, you know, you just learn that life's okay. It doesn't have to be perfect. You know, I'll get a horse that'll never break down in heaven. And you just learn to cheerfully endure. It shows you have real Christianity when you cannot be all... You endure, and it shows what you're made of. It shows you're real. Next, make Jesus notice... It makes Jesus notice and praise you for it. Look at Revelation. Watch how Jesus multiple times noticed those with patience. I got to get there. I got to get the kind of patience that Jesus would notice. I don't have that yet. Where he'd say, wow, I notice your patience. Revelation 2, it says verse 3, and thou hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and has not fainted. You've had patience in your hard times. You haven't quit. Verse 19, different church. And he says, I know thy works and thy charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works. The last say more than the first. So that church, another church, he notices their patience. Chapter 3, verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation. He says three different times he praises people for their patience. Obviously, patience impresses God. Cheerfully enduring. Cheerfully enduring. Now, here's the problem. To really grow in complete patience and get that godly patience, there are certain things that you do well at. You might be a person who can wait patiently for things. You might be a person who health issues you're patient with, but financial things you're not. Finances might not bother you, but car problems do. Car problems don't bother you, but health problems do. Listen, you got to get patience as who you are. You're patient in most every way, but there's certain people at work who you just can't take it. And you got to get patience for that too. Got to get patience for that. You got to get patience in every area. That's hard, isn't it? How many know the areas where you don't have much patience? All right. How many will tell the person next to them? I'll tell you if you don't know. We have those. All of us. And you know, the dumb thing is, it's not big things that get me. It's little things that get me. Big things don't make me impatient. Little things. The bulletins today are upside down. That will bother me worse than if the shuttle would have broke down this morning. We had the van break down. The shuttle broke down to me a month ago. I'm used to cars breaking down. But you know what? Little things like that. Why? You don't want to get me mad? Have me writing something and make my pen stop working. Why does a pen stop? How many, when it drives you crazy and a pen stops working, how many throw the pen across the room like me? Only three of you. Okay. And well, then let's confess, everybody. Tell me your thing. We all have these little things that get us. We got to be all the way across the board patient. All right. We're running out of time, but I'm not impatient about it. Next, it gives credibility to who we are and what we preach. 2 Corinthians. It's a terrible thing when an unsaved person looks at a Christian and says, calm down. 2 Corinthians. We sing It Is Well, and then we, Tuesday afternoon, we are making a phone call and we keep on getting transferred. And it is not well with our soul. Or somebody with a strong accent says, how can I help you today? And you're like, ah! And our patience runs out. You say, that's not wrong, that's right! Isn't it amazing how we think that what we're impatient about really is a big deal? Some people, computers. I love when they make you put in all your information in the computer, and then you push continue, and then all your information disappears, and it says, please re-enter your information. You know, sometimes those things, you know, it's a growth process, and you learn. And you learn to destroy computers with hammers. But you learn patience. 2 Corinthians, we learn to keep our testimony. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 4, but in all things approving ourselves. The word approving means, we've been talking about this in Thursday night. It means it's showing. You're proving to everybody, showing that you're acceptable. As the ministers of God in much patience. Chapter 12 and verse 11. Am I become a fool in glorying? For ye have compelled me, I had to have been commanded of you, for in nothing I am behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. And there's many verses we could read where Paul talks about, hey, I endured this, and proved that I'm approved of God. And let's look what Paul said to Timothy as a pastor, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Patience. And verse 10. Thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came to me in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me, and yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now the verse before, he's talking about false prophets, and it's going to appear that they are false prophets. Their folly will be made manifest. But Paul says, but you've known how I've endured. Listen, a fake person, when trials come, will buckle. A real person, they show patience. And it shows that what you're made of, and it does that. It keeps you going when you're doing right. Let's look at Hebrews 10. When you don't feel like going to church, when you feel like you're not getting blessed for doing right, when you're doing right and bad things are happening, keep on serving the Lord because you're patient. Hebrews 10, verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath a great recompense or reward, for ye have need of patience, that, after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. And then it gives hope. What it does for us, it gives hope. Romans 15. Verse 4. And it says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime are written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. And so it gives you hope in life. When you have this biblical patience, you get hope. Now, let me just stop for a sec. Questions about patience. Talk about a lot of things. Questions about patience. Yes, sir? Long-suffering has only to do with hurting and keeping on going. You can be Job long-suffering, where you're just saying, I'm just going to make it. I'm in misery. I'm in terrible times and trials. Patience has happiness to it, has hope and joy to it. So long-suffering can keep going when nothing's hopeful, but patience has hope along with it. That's most of the difference. So, all right, other questions? Anybody else? Questions? All right, I'm out of time. I got a minute. Let's see if we can finish it up then. Let me give you the comment because I'll forget it. Don't work on your own patience, not somebody else's patience. You do not make somebody more patient by saying, you need to be patient. What you actually do is make them less patient. As a person, I will always be fine if you give me a minute. In big, big things, I need a couple days, and I'll be fine. I might go through 2 days saying, this is hopeless, everything's terrible. But I'm going to be fine. And I know that about myself, and I know that, I think most people are like that. There's just times where your brain just says, I'm going to be hopeless. And that's different periods of times. And it's read Psalms. It happened often in Psalms. But when I'm angry and somebody says, you need to calm down, I want to strangle them, not calm down. Okay, I will calm down. Just give me a minute. Just give me distance. And if I need a minute to be alone or something, I get fixed not by being lectured. I get fixed by getting alone and just taking a breath, calming down. fix your own patience, but before. And don't think because, well, I'm not impatient like them, but are you impatient? They should get so upset about their health issues. How do you do with that person at work who drives you crazy? Well, they're ridiculous. Okay. You understand you're impatient too. Do that. By the way, you got to be patient with people if you're ever going to impact people. Got to be patient with people. Because people are... require patience. Romans 12, and we'll see if we can finish off here. Romans 12, patient in tribulation. We've talked about this, but Romans 12:12, rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation. When should you be patient in tribulation? When attacked while doing right. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm not saying that at a calm time, you don't go to so-and-so and say, you know, really, I think you got, whenever I talk to you or do this, you always blow your stack. I think you need to learn patience. That's fine when it's calm and talk. That's fine. But be patient with people. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19 through 23. These are good verses about patience. It says, for this is thankworthy, if a man suffer conscience towards God, endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, and take it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto we are called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving in this example that we should follow in his steps. And it continues on. When you're persecuted for doing right. And then James 5. And the best point on patience really is the last point, James 5. It's not far before here. Be patient for Jesus to come back and fix the world. James 5 and verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husband waited for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it. Until we see the early and latter rain, be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Listen, be patient. Don't worry so much about the world. I know we want Jesus to come back and fix it. I know America is going downhill. I know there's some people who need some judgment on them. I know. Be patient. Just keep on doing right. You know who gets patient? You know, and this is one of the most beautiful things about that, where you get patience from, is someone who loses some loved ones. And they can't wait to see them and get to heaven. They get that cheerful enduring. Saying, you know what? I know I'm just a step closer to seeing Jesus and seeing my loved one. That gives you patience. Because why? You're thinking about heaven. And life screams, you can't make it. Life screams, this has got to be fixed right now. And you know what? You're going to be a miserable person unless you learn patience, because things don't get fixed right now. You're in a sin-cursed world that has problems. Now, it's not too bad. Praise God. We live in a nice country, and we have a lot of blessings in a nice area. But you know what? You got to learn to cheerfully endure hard times. Patiently finish high school. Patiently wait till you get married. Patiently wait for Jesus to come back. Patiently deal with your finances. Just cheerfully endure. We can make it. Why? Because if everything goes wrong anyway, we got heaven and Jesus coming. So we can cheerfully endure, amen? All right, let's bow for prayer. Lord, thank you for being so good to us. Help us to be patient. Lord, there are things that push our buttons, certainly, but Lord, help us to cheerfully endure. Help us take these lessons and work on them. And Lord, we know it'll be tried this week because we heard about it. And we pray that we would get your attention as the churches there in Revelation did, Father, that we endure cheerfully and hopefully. Thank you for your word that teaches us how to do this. Give us great service to follow. Dwell among us and help us to please you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you're dismissed until...